Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. 732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Alex Gold is joining us. He's host of one of the hosts of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Kansas City. You can follow him at Alex Gold on Twitter. Alex, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's a cool name, Cody and Gold. I mean, you guys aren't like the Afternoon Marauders or something. You don't have any kind of catchy, quirky name. It's Cody and Gold. That's kind of cool.
It's no wheelhouse. It's no bench. No. You know, it's nothing like that.
Two syllables, one syllable.
Yeah, Cody
it's
and
the
Gold.
Magic.
John, got a rhythm well, we're to it. John and we don't use the bench too much. We're just John and Lance usually. So, but yeah, the wheelhouse. Well, you got three guys. You can't do that. But they got a Cody too. I hope yours is a little skinnier. So
wow. What's that?
Well, I mean, he's getting skinny.
Just trying to talk to morning. Yeah.
anyway. Alex Gold with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm of the opinion that 7 points just isn't enough in this football game, despite how good the Bengals just beat them a couple of weeks ago. I'm just of the opinion. What are you guys talking about there about this 7-point spread?
Yeah, you know, it's not the same feeling that we had a couple of weeks ago when the Steelers were coming to the town where nobody gave, of course, Big Ben any chance, and we kind of really didn't even talk about the Steelers a whole lot a couple of weeks ago, and understandably so, based off of the result of that game and everything. But this one, I think the feeling is the last go-around, which was only a few weeks ago against Joe Burrow, is that there's going to be some adjustments, right, from Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, after Ja'Marr Chase hits you for 266 yards. And even if he gets 130 yards in this game, let's not forget how the first matchup went, where it still took a 3rd-and-26 conversion where the Chiefs, for whatever reason, decided to leave one of their corners on an island with Ja'Marr Chase while they were blitzing, and it still took some questionable calls around the goal line. I mean, there's a lot of confidence in Kansas City that the Chiefs will be able to move the ball against Cincinnati with ease, and then, you know, the defensive line licking their chops a little bit after Tennessee Titans were able to sack Joe Burrow 9 times.
I think that's the real honestly, I know the Chiefs got him 4 times in the previous matchup. This is the real question, I think. There's two central narratives here. Number one, real Pat Mahomes appears to have come back to the Chiefs, and the offense is back from Tyreek Hill to Kelce to Pat Mahomes. And the other thing is, how long can Cincinnati survive their pass protection issues? I think those are the two things that make this game so much different in my mind. And I'm kind of with John. I'm not sure this one's going to be a close one. Cincinnati's been a great story, but tell us a little bit about what the ride has been like watching Pat Mahomes go from superhuman to below average back to looks like his old standards. Does it feel like he's back?
Totally, 100%. And, you know, we've been spoiled here in Kansas City, obviously, the last couple of years, but there were some, you know, for Kansas City's sake, at least some dark days in the middle of the season, right? We didn't realize how good people have had it here in Kansas City recently, but there were a lot of questions about is he broken, and also they don't have a third option, and why is Andy Reid, this great offensive mastermind, not been able to figure out the way defenses are playing them, and is this going to be, you know, what Mahomes is going to be? Was the last couple of years something that this league hadn't adjusted to him yet? Is this going to be the way it is? And obviously, as the season has gone on, we've seen the development of a couple other third options for this offense, and Patrick Mahomes' willingness to take what's there. I mean, I think the perfect example, guys, is that Buffalo Bills game where Patrick Mahomes did not throw a single deep pass in the game. Not a single deep pass, but you look at the stat line, and I think we all would agree it was a ridiculous stat line. He played incredible despite what, you know, Pro Football Focus will throw out there where they ding you for not having a deep pass. So he ends up with a worse grade, I think it was, than Josh Allen in the game, who also played just ridiculous. But it's been this up-and-down ride, and it was the defense that got him out of the funk. I mean, this is a team that, even when they started their 8-game winning streak at one point, they weren't looking great offensively. Neither was Mahomes. The Giants' win was ugly. The Packers' win was ugly. They weren't scoring a lot of points. It was the defense going from historically bad to being a top 2 or 3 defense, at least for a portion of this season. That's why they were able to kind of get things solidified to where they were able to even be in contention once again for the division, first of all, which sounds silly now since they ended up winning it pretty comfortably. but also had a chance to be the number one overall seed. I think the rest of the AFC kind of blew their opportunity to bury the Chiefs a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The Chiefs were out there to be knocked out of the playoffs, basically, and they snuck some games out, which seems to have been we've seen this for I think three it feels like 3 years in a row now, where they've won some games that they could have lost. But what I'm curious.
Wait, I'm going to comment on something. The dark days that you guys were experiencing.
I know.
Really?
I know.
We're in Houston, okay? The dark days you guys were experiencing.
the dark days of the 2021
that's what
season.
I said. We've been spoiled the last couple of years. So even that 4 or 5 week stretch, you would have thought that the world was ending in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes for a little bit. And so, yeah, that's how good it's been versus. Yes, unfortunately, what you guys have been going through down in Houston.
How has the defense, what has been the secret to the change of the defense? Because the defense was a massive, now I'm saying this on the heels of the Buffalo game, I get that. But the difference that the defense, the differences we've seen defensively from the Chiefs and how they defend, it's been night and day, and it happened about in the middle of the year. What exactly took place that altered the fortunes of the defense this year?
The biggest adjustment was getting guys in the right spot. Yes, a few guys healthy, but getting guys in the right spot. They tried this experiment with Chris Jones in the offseason that everybody kind of had bought into, which was, all right, we're going to move this guy's defensive tackle, maybe the number two defensive tackle in football, out to defensive end and rotate him around there and give him some snaps out there. And all of a sudden we'll have Jaron Reed inside, who they acquired from Seattle in the free agency. And it just didn't work out. He also hurt his wrist. Well, they moved him back into kind of his wheelhouse, which is defensive tackle, right? And so we've seen him start to impact the line of scrimmage a lot more. Then they go and acquire Melvin Ingram in one of the best in-season trades we've seen in Kansas City in a while for a 6th-round draft pick from the Steelers. And if you look at the box score, you'll say, well, okay, Melvin Ingram only has 2 sacks, and he did have one this past game against Buffalo. But he's around the quarterback consistently. He's been a difference maker. Everybody here in Kansas City now wants them to bring him back next year on a contract. He was someone that they tried to get in the offseason. He actually came to KC for a visit but ended up signing with Pittsburgh. So it's, some of it is personnel. And some guys, including Daniel Sorensen, who I'm sure is a name even in Houston that rings a bell because usually he's getting torched by defenses. Early in the season, guys, he was their number two safety, getting 100% of the snaps. Just putting him in a poor spot. That was an adjustment that took over a month for Steve Spagnuolo to make. And so they've been able to put him in a position where he can actually have some success. You saw against Buffalo when Tyrann Mathieu went out in concussion protocol, and that'll be something to watch this week. The middle of the field was wide open for Gabriel Davis. That was Tyrann Mathieu not being out there, and it was Rashad Fenton, their number three corner, not being out there. So it's been just having some additions, but also playing some guys in correct spots.
Yeah, yeah. How you feel about, and how much you guys going to talk about Aaron Rodgers in the division now?
Right? I don't get this. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, if I'm looking at the AFC West with Mahomes and Herbert, why am I going to the Broncos? I like their roster, but why am I going to the Broncos when I'm in still the AFC North, where the Lions don't have anything figured out yet, the Bears just hired a new GM, soon to be coach, maybe Justin Fields is the guy, and then Minnesota, like, it's Kirk Cousins. Like, why go to the AFC West out of all the divisions?
Because my fiance lives in Boulder.
Well, a serious question now. How long have you worked at your station?
Yes, I'm from Kansas City, but I just moved back about 2 years ago. So think about that. I moved back, and the first 3 weeks was the Super Bowl run in Miami.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I think Aaron Rodgers has been there since 2005, and he just wants to experience something new. Same way Tom Brady, why would you leave New England? Well, he just was tired of it. Yep. I think Tom wanted to go spend the end of his career somewhere else and experience something else. I think the same might be true of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think it scares him. I don't think competition scares him. I made this point earlier. We're so used to, ever since LeBron's decision, the idea of ganging up and taking a path of least resistance. Maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't care as much about the path of least resistance and just has supreme confidence that wherever he goes, he's going to win.
It's a fair point. I understand the point. I think, you know, we all clearly know he's a little bit different than everybody else, and just in terms of how he handles things, and he's hard to predict. And like, the AFC West would be just absolutely ridiculous.
It's the toughest.
We talked at one point about Deshaun Watson, you know, ending up with the Broncos, and all of a sudden, what would the division look like with Watson and Mahomes and Herbert? So, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers, it wouldn't be, you know, for 6 or 7 years. It might only be for 3 years or something, but this division would be absolutely insane. It'd be a lot of fun for us. It certainly would make things far more challenging for the Chiefs to ever get the number one seed again if all of a sudden you're dealing with Rodgers and Herbert in your own division.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Maybe the Raiders can make a move for Deshaun. We can make your dreams come true.
Russell Wilson, right? Isn't that the one that makes sense? With Sierra, one of the just go ahead and have residency in Vegas, right?
Yeah, if you're Russell, though, like, oh, I can't do this.
Deshaun anymore. Would be like, you know how many masseuses there are in
That's
Vegas?
That's not what he's saying.
Awesome. Deshaun would be like, what?
You don't have to go.
I don't even have to fly anybody in from Atlanta. It'd be awesome. That is Alex Gold right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Final score, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win this one. I think, you know, we were talking about the spread. I actually think if you get it at 7.5 or 7, it's going to be a big deal. I think it's 35-28, guys, Kansas City. I think there's a garbage time touchdown, a backdoor cover if you get a 7 for Cincinnati. Because they'll be able to move the ball and put up some yards against Kansas City. I just think Patrick Mahomes is in such a zone right now, and they're all locked in offensively. I don't know how Cincinnati is able to keep up the way Josh Allen and the Bills were back and forth throughout the entire game.
That was so much fun. And I think it's understated. Mahomes' legs early in that game, I mean, we talk about the end of the game, but Mahomes' legs kept you guys in the game most of the first quarter. And goodness gracious, yeah, we talk about Josh Allen, how he can run the football. Mahomes was just a beast early on running the football. And that was a lot of fun. That was about as good as it gets in the NFL. So hopefully we'll get another good one this week. Hopefully it won't be a stinker. We'll see if Joe and the Bengals can show up this week. Hey, Alex, we appreciate your time.
We'll see if it's hopefully. Yeah. I'm thinking hopefully they don't show up.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Alex,
hey, thanks, guys.
Alex Gold, Cody and Gold.
By the way,
Alex Gold,
you guys
on
lost a good one with Ryan Poles. He's a guy that I respect a lot. I think very highly of Ryan Poles, and you lost a good one with Ryan Poles going to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, at one point we thought Ryan Poles kind of was maybe the key to get Eric Bieniemy a head coaching gig, but Chicago is not that spot for it, unfortunately, I think.
Nope.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, we appreciate your time. That's Alex Gold right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf and GimmeTheVin.com. What? That's right. If you're looking for the best way to get some money, people, put money in your pocket. Put John Clay Wolf's money in your pocket. That's the best way. I love John Clay Wolf money. I got John Clay Wolf money. I sold Frankie's car. I ripped him off. I mean, he offered me way more than I would have gotten for that piece of junk, the way Frankie destroyed it. She used it as a bumper car. And then I was like, okay, well, let's sell it. Let's see what we get for it. Oh, my. What am I going to get for it? John Clay Wolf? What are you going to give me for it? Yes, I'll take it right now. On the air, he did that. I took it right then and there, and it can't be better. You're looking for the best way to sell your car. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You want more for your car? It's not even arguable. He will give you the most. If he can't beat CarMax, he's going to send you $100. That's a guarantee. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.